It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. John Affleck is the night chair in sports journalism at Penn State, and in the past, he has joined us to discuss the alarming uptick in bad behavior among major sports figures. Well, there certainly is no shortage of that lately, including the two-game suspension given to Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice for domestic violence. Many believe the sentence should have been stiffer. Also, considering some of the bad behavior carried out by Russia, is that country fit to host the 2018 World Cup of Soccer, which it is scheduled to do? Here to answer these questions and more is John Affleck. John, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me back, Paul. I appreciate it.
There are a number of places where we could start, but I think probably the Ray Rice issue is the one most people are talking about. Ray Rice is a running back for the Baltimore Ravens, and they are the arch rival of the Steelers. So Steelers fans, of which there are many in Pittsburgh, have been following this closely. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has handed down a two-game suspension without pay to Ray Rice. So that happened last Thursday. He violated the league's personal conduct policy. He was caught on a security camera after striking his then fiance, now wife, and was charged with felony aggravated assault. A lot of people were surprised, shocked, and upset that Ray Rice was only given a two-game suspension. And when we consider that, by contrast, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger was handed a six-game suspension, reduced to four games just a few years ago for something that he wasn't even officially charged for having done, some people are saying that there's a disconnect here, that these two punishments don't fit their respective crimes or lack thereof.
Well, I think that there's a lot to say about the Ray Rice issue. The first thing I would say is it helps to sort of think a little bit about how the NFL approaches punishment in general. Roger Goodell has sort of divided things into sort of two frames of reference. One is punishments for things that hurt the game, hurt competitiveness. And the NFL is fairly consistent when it comes to that. It's stuff like drug use. You've got a player for the Cleveland Browns who may wind up sitting out the whole season because he for his third drug suspension.
And there's an established policy for that.
Sure. Sorry?
There's an established policy for that. You know.
Yes, that's right. It's in the union contract, and there have been other instances. The Bounties case in New Orleans, and Terrell Pryor got five games suspension when he broke into the league from Ohio State because he'd gotten in trouble at Ohio State, and the NCAA had put on that punishment. So Goodell is pretty consistent there. Now, when we get to criminal matters and matters of crimes against society, the NFL is much less consistent and much less good. I mean, I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh even would say that they would particularly have wanted their son or daughter out with Ben Roethlisberger when he was partying down in Georgia a couple of years ago, whatever went on. But the idea that he got four games, initially six, and Rice, who is on a videotape with his then fiance knocked out cold, is only getting two, seems a little at odds. And I think the NFL's reasoning was that Rice immediately was contrite and took a plea, went into intervention on the criminal side. So Roger Goodell felt like he didn't have so much to work with on that. But I think the other side of that is the equation that the NFL has a lot of female fans, and even if it didn't, it's pretty bad behavior. And so this is an issue that's really sticking with the NFL. They haven't been able to just blow by it. People are still talking about it days and days later.
And isn't it hypocritical, some say, of the NFL, which claims to support women and show support, for example, in the month of October, teams wear pink to support breast cancer awareness, that if you have a month like that and yet you're treating someone who's involved with domestic violence only handing them a 2-game suspension, that there's a conflict there that just doesn't – that people aren't able to reconcile.
Yeah, I think that that is exactly the problem that the NFL is facing. And it'll be hard in this case to go back and add more games to what Ray Rice has already been handed down. That obviously sort of looks like pandering, and you may wind up in a union problem. But I think the NFL is going to take this episode into account as it moves forward.
Meanwhile, there is controversy for an ESPN sports commentator named Stephen A. Smith, who some people might be familiar with, who went on the air after the suspension for Ray Rice was announced and made these comments.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of who you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions. Because if I come, or somebody else come, whether it's law enforcement officials, your brother, or the fellas that you know, if we come after somebody has put their hands on you, it doesn't negate the fact that they already put their hands on you. So let's try to make sure that we can do our part in making sure that that doesn't happen. Now, you got some dudes that are just horrible, and they're going to do it anyway. And there's never an excuse to put your hands on a woman. But domestic violence or whatever the case may be, with men putting their hands on women, is obviously a very real, real issue in our society. And I think that just talking about what guys shouldn't do, we got to also make sure that you can do your part to do whatever you can do to try to make sure it doesn't happen. We know they're wrong. We know they're criminal. We know they probably deserve to be in jail. In Ray Rice's case, he probably deserves more than the 2-game suspension, which we both acknowledged. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that we learn as much as we can about elements of provocation. Not that there's real provocation, but the elements of provocation, you got to make sure that you address it, because what we've got to do is do what we can to try to prevent the situation from happening in any way. And I don't think that's broached enough.
And that is ESPN sports commentator Stephen A. Smith commenting about the suspension of 2 games for Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice. And he seemed to be saying, as others have, that the punishment did not fit the crime. But then he ended up going into, as you heard, a diatribe about putting some of the blame on women and asking women to take responsibility. And you could almost hear, as he was saying these things, the wheels kind of turning in his head, like, where am I going with this? But he obviously seems to have gotten himself into some trouble. What's been the fallout here, John?
Well, today Stephen A. Smith apologized, and he apologized, interestingly, at the top of the show in a taped segment. So ESPN's producers and executives were not ready to let him just go off the leash on this topic again. And ESPN released a statement very shortly thereafter that backed him up. But obviously, I mean, it's completely irrational to suggest that the way to avoid a crime is to placate the abuser. And Stephen A. Smith acknowledged today that it was the worst mistake of his career, which it certainly was that. But it looks like he'll get to stay on the show and he won't be suspended.
And in the meantime, if any of our listeners would like to comment on the penalty handed to Ray Rice or any of the issues involving domestic abuse, domestic violence, or other issues with NFL players, 412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. To join our conversation with John Affleck. He's night chair in sports journalism at Penn State. And in the past, he's joined us to talk about the uptick in bad behavior among major sports figures. You've written about this. You've opined about it in op-eds that have appeared all over the country. And the situation we've been talking about with Ray Rice and Stephen A. Smith knocked another story kind of off the radar a little bit that was getting a lot of generating a lot of attention and discussion, and that was involving former Indianapolis Colts coach, former Steeler Tony Dungy, who's now an NBC sports commentator, who made a comment about Michael Sam, the first openly gay player to be drafted by the NFL. He's a linebacker trying to make the St. Louis Rams football team. And Tony Dungy came out and said that he would not want to have Michael Sam on his team because he felt that he would be creating too much of a distraction. Many feel that these were inappropriate remarks by Tony Dungy. John, what's your take on it?
Well, I think the word distraction is an interesting choice of word. I mean, what could be more distracting than playing in front of a sold-out stadium on national television? And the reality is that any distraction in the NFL can essentially be handled by a single news conference, and then there may be more reporters there than there are typically, but you can handle it with that, and then for the rest of the season it's, hey guys, that's been asked, we've answered it, we're moving on. So it just feels a little bit lame, and I mean, Tony Dungy has done a lot of work in prison ministry, which is honorable and good, and he represented, he worked with Michael Vick when Michael Vick was coming back from his felony dogfighting conviction. That's a huge distraction. It was a distraction in 1988 when Washington brought a black quarterback to the Super Bowl, but it was worth the distraction. Doug Williams went on, had a great career, and won the Super Bowl. I think what feels a little less than genuine to most football fans is it's well known that Dungy is an evangelical Christian, and he's on the record as opposing gay marriage. So it feels like it would have been a little bit more genuine for him to say, listen, this isn't the issue that I would particularly want to carry the banner for. I have personal feelings about this. I have feelings of faith about this. And it's just not something I want to get involved in. I think he would have gotten less flack if he just come out and been very upfront about his personal position on the issue.
And moving on to broader international issues or instances of bad behavior, certainly many have accused Russia of that on the eastern border with Ukraine, and yet Russia is scheduled to host the World Cup of Soccer in 2018, the next World Cup, because it happens once every 4 years. And of course, Russia is just coming off of hosting the Olympics. FIFA, which is the governing body of world soccer, rejected calls to move the 2018 World Cup from Russia, saying that the tournament can still achieve positive change. Some lawmakers in Germany, though, want the hosting rights reviewed because of Russia's alleged involvement in the shooting down of a Malaysia Airlines plane over Ukraine last week. John, what do you make of this situation? Will the outcry get strong enough that we might see the World Cup removed from Russia?
I think, honestly, that's a long shot, but you may well see the calls get more vociferous. You may see it become more widespread. Interestingly, within the past day or so, Nick Clegg, who's the deputy prime minister in Great Britain, echoed the calls of the German lawmakers. So there's a little bit of it's gaining some traction in Europe. And you know what may be the trigger here is the corporate side of this. When I've been on the show before, we've talked a little bit about how sports and social change often follows money, how it follows economic concerns. There are big sports sponsors involved in FIFA and involved in the World Cup. We're talking about Coke. We're talking about Visa, Budweiser, Hyundai. If you wound up with a situation where the sponsors began to say, hey, we're getting uncomfortable with Russia running the games here, I think that's the moment when you might see a real trigger. And so if people start asking those questions, if journalists start asking those kinds of questions, that might be something that really brings some pressure to bear.
I want to circle back to one of the earlier issues we were talking about. We have a caller from Shadyside, Bobby, on the line who wants to join us.
I wanted to just say that I have four daughters, and I have told them that they don't deserve to be abused by anyone. I haven't done it, nor should someone else, whether it's because they have money or because they have fame, whatever. And also on Michael Sam, whatever he does in his bedroom, I think should be private. Whoever he lives his wife with or anyone else, because I'm sure he's not the only gay athlete. And people should just keep it to themselves. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. It sounds like, thank you, Bobby. It sounds like she might be advising or advocating for don't ask, don't tell. But it seems like that's not where the trend is going, John. It seems that gay athletes want to be open with their sexuality. They don't want to hide it anymore. So the question becomes, as we go back to that issue, how does the NFL deal with it?
I think the NFL is going to have to deal with it in a very straightforward manner. We've come a long way in terms of openness on gay athletes. It was just 2010 when Sports Illustrated did a big blockbuster story on a rugby player in Wales, of all places, who was an out athlete over in the United Kingdom, and had very directly challenged the four major sports in America to be more open, to create an atmosphere where people felt comfortable just telling it like it is and saying how they felt about their sexuality. And here we are with Jason Collins earlier in the NBA earlier this year, and now Michael Sam. I think that the league has made all comments that sound very much like they will be okay with the athlete.
John, I need
Michael Sam or anyone else if they want to come out.
Fair enough. I need to jump in. We are out of time. John Affleck is the Knight Chair in Sports Journalism at Penn State. John, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon.
And I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.